Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Christ That Dwells Within Us.
It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world, but also for this reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For a correlating scripture, would you real quickly skip over to Ephesians chapter number 3. Amen. For a correlating scripture, amen, skip over to Ephesians chapter 3 real quickly. And Ephesians chapter 3, amen, verse 14, I'll read it. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven, I'm in verse 14 of Ephesians 3, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Read that again. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you according to his riches of his glory. Here it is, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ with passage knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk, and I know we've sung for quite a while, amen, so I'll try to minimize what I'll say, but I want to talk about evidence that Christ dwells within. Do me a favor, look at your neighbor, say something to your neighbor if you don't mind. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, in this season, I need some evidence that Christ dwells within. How many of you guys know if Christ is within us, there ought to be some evidence? Everybody agree with that? All right, for a few moments, I really want to talk about it because I think it is so important with the spirit of Antichrist, false prophet, all that stuff, amen, the powers of this age, deception everywhere. We need the real Christians to stand up. In fact, before you open up your mouth, there ought to be some signs that you know Christ. Okay, you didn't say nothing right there. We're now in a day that before we open up our mouth, somebody ought to have smelled out that we name the name of Christ. So tell your neighbor one more time, say, neighbor, I need some evidence that Christ dwells within. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments that I have, let me speak as an oracle of God. Let me speak truth. Let me speak it accurately, God. And let me declare, Father, what ears can hear and what ears are ready to hear and what hearts are ready to receive. But more important, Lord, what lives are ready to, oh God, live out the applicable principles, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your word is rich, Father. I thank you for your word is powerful. I thank you for your word is quick and is sharper than any two-edged sword, the dividing of the asunder. God, we thank you for your word, oh God, is going to accomplish what you sent it to do today. And you're going to raise us up, Father, that not only will we require evidence of others, but we will require evidence of ourselves. I want to know the Christ that lives within me. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. And I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. Thank you, Father, for showing evidence that you're here, that you dwell within. And as I speak, God, let the mirror be put on ourselves. Oh, God, let us properly look at our brothers and sisters. And then, Father, let us properly discern what you've said to us. And as you do it, we'll give you the name. We'll give your name the glory and the praise. And oh, God's people say it, amen and amen. Somebody say it with me again. One more time, say evidence. Evidence, thank you, minstrels, amen. You may be seated, amen. Evidence is defined as that which tends to prove or disprove something. Say that again, if I'm going to say evidence that Christ dwells within, then we really need to understand what does that word evidence mean. Evidence is defined as that which tends to prove or disprove something, a ground for belief, something that makes plain and clear, something that indicates or becomes a sign, or something that makes something plain and visible. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, to whom he presented himself alive after suffering many infallible proofs, being seen of them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What that basically infers is after Christ did the talking, he then did the walking to show them that I got proof that I am who I said I am. Evidence that he was the Christ. What the world is desperately in need of right now is the Christian beloved community to stand up, to demonstrate that we have the abundant life of Christ within us, and every day show that Christ is alive within us. And now, because this Christ is alive within us, life is becoming brighter and brighter and shining unto that perfect day. I'm going to say that again. What the world is in desperate need of right now is for the Christian beloved community to stand up and to demonstrate that we have the abundant life of Christ within us. Every day showing that Christ is alive within us. For a few moments, just think back on the last 7 days. Think about where you've been. Think about what you've said. Think about what you've done. And in thinking about that, reflect on how many places did you reflect Christ? How many places was it said, did our hearts not burn while they walked among us? Think about everywhere you went. Was there anybody that asked, what's different about you? Because what the world is in desperate need of is some Christ-likeness in the earth. And the indictment that comes against us, I don't know if I can see Christ in your life. I don't know if I hear Christ when you talk. I don't know if you believe what you say you believe by the way you live. The earth is moaning and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. If we would stand up right now, we could calm the chaos. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about if we stand up and just talk sanely with some sense, we can calm the confusion and the craziness that's in America. If we would stand up and say, whether I'm in the city or in the field or whether I'm in the top or the bottom, I'm still going to be blessed. We could get some folks that are hopeless believing in hope again. If we could just, with our kind words, speak, we could turn away where wrath is raging. But for some reason, everybody has come out of the closet but us. Come on, ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I need to tell you something. And then I'm going to ask you something. Say, everybody has come out the closet. Come on, tell them. Say, with your Christian lifestyle, what are you waiting for? Why don't you go to work next week and just stand up and say, I'm saved and I just want y'all to know it. Everybody else is standing up saying they something. And we Christians are walking around incognito. We don't really nobody, we don't want nobody to know we say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We don't really want to know too many people to know that we went to church yesterday. And what this world is in desperate need of is for the real Christians. It's going to be real plain today, guys. It's going to be real simple. It's not going to be that complicated, and prayerfully it won't be that long. But the world is in desperate need. I ain't talking about these play Christians. I ain't talking about these sometimes up, sometimes down Christians. I'm talking about the Christians that have become stable in all their ways. If we would stand up, somebody would say, my daughter is sick. Will you pray for? I'm talking about if they could see your sermon before you preached your sermon. Somebody would say, come to my house because there's oil in your tank. That world is in desperate need for the real Christians to stand up. We have been made alive to become trailblazers. I'll say that again. We have been made alive in Christ to become trailblazers to the joy that we found in Christ alone. Our lives must now become signposts declaring that the only way is the best way, and that way is following Jesus Christ. The last couple of weeks, that's what I've been trying to share with you, what it means when Christ dwells within. Absolutely, we get to follow Elder-elect JD for an hour and whatever amount of time he sung today, and sing the songs of Zion. And sweat can come down our faces. Tears can come out of our eyes. But after doing that, we got to do something else when we get out of here. We can put on our best suits and our fancy dresses. But after leaving here, we're going to have to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. It's much more than what we do in 10:45 to 1:30. It's so much more what we do in discussing in the millennial reign on Tuesday night. When we leave out of here is when we got to stand the tallest. It's when we've got to stand the most stable. It's when we've got to stand the strong and say, as Apostle Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. We've got to be able to look at parents and say, you having a problem with your children? Follow me the way I raise my children. And I guarantee you when they are old, they will come back to Christ because we've taught them the ways of Christ. We're the real Christians. Please stand up. And I'm not talking about literally in here. The world is waiting. The world is waiting. And for the last few Sundays, I've been leading to what I'll say today. Evidence that Christ dwells within. We've already looked at how does Christ come to dwell within the individual. Romans 10, 4 through 13. We've already looked at what is the purpose of Christ coming to dwell within. Christ dwells within us that he may work things for our good. sin. You can't just sin any kind of way you want to when Christ is in. Okay, y'all didn't say anything. You can't just do what you want to when Christ is here. He'll be like this. Don't say that. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He'll be like this. Yeah, get up and pray. That's me. He comes to convict us of our sin. He comes that we will repent quickly. He comes to inform us of what is his righteousness and to teach us everything that we are needed in whatever season that we're in. We've already looked at what does this Christ dwelling within us empower us to do. When Christ is within us, and we really got to get this, when Christ is within us, nothing can overtake us. Because greater is he that is within than he that is within the world. We've got to get out of this understanding of being victims. You can't be a victim when Christ dwells within. You are more than a conqueror. And they don't go together. When Christ is within, it has empowered us to overcome everything that the enemy brings to our table. With Christ within, we just keep on stepping over the very things that took the rest of them out. One of the things that I've discovered that when Christ really becomes to dwell within, you have to change your language, your lingo, what you say and what you won't say. When Christ comes to dwell within, it changes your language. You have the ability to call things as not as though they were, and all that is the word of faith which we preach. Not only did we look at all these three things, but then in lesson two, we then looked at that if Christ is going to dwell within, I have to decrease. How many of us want more of God? Just throw your hands up real quickly. Can I help everybody get more of God? Just decrease. I know you wanted some complicated formula that you would never do, and then you would make the excuse I couldn't do it because it was too hard to do it. If you really want more of God, just decrease. John said, I must decrease that he might increase. Whenever I want more of God, the thing that I must now put into my life is a lifestyle of decreasing. And what does that mean? Things I don't want to do, like getting up, praying, getting up, reading my Bible, I'm going to do. The things that I want to do, watching too much TV, being lovers of pleasure, then more than lovers of God, I'm going to decrease all of that. It's very easy to determine what I need to decrease. Ask, what is it feeding? If you want to know what, it went in that statement, I must decrease that he might increase, all you've got to do is what I'm partaking of, what does it feed? If it feeds the flesh, I got to decrease from some of that stuff. If it feeds the spirit and it builds up my most holy faith, then I've got to add that to my lifestyle. In order for Christ to dwell in us richly, then lesson two told us that we must decrease. And the amazing thing about decreasing, it's life-giving. It even brings us into the posture of eternal life. When Peter is writing in our text today, he's trying to get them to understand the doctrines of Christ more clearly. He's trying to persuade them, and this is amazing about when you look at decrease, he's trying to encourage them, you guys need to have more holy conversations. He said, especially as you discharge your personal and your relative duties, make sure you have holy conversations. And then he says, now, in order for this Christ to dwell within you richly, I need you to prepare for present suffering. So as Peter begins to write to them, he wants them to understand those that live godly and those that live with more God in their lives, they're going to suffer persecution in this world. How much do you really want more of God? Are you going to be okay when they laugh at you at work that you went to church and you spent how many hours? That's crazy, man. You going home tonight and read your Bible? You don't want to hang out with the boys? You meeting a men's prayer group to do what? He says, though that live godly, and this is what Apostle Peter is trying to teach them in this text, that the thing that those are for with God must understand is that you're going to have sufferings. But don't let the sufferings speak to you in a manner that you think you're suffering because you're sinning. It says, those that live godly will suffer persecution. Sometimes the evidence of who you are is because who don't want to hang out with you. Can I talk like this today? Don't have to raise my voice, all right? Can I talk just like this and finish? Sometimes the evidence of who you really are is who don't want to come hang at your house. Sometimes the evidence of who you are is spoken volumes when you're at work and they be like, nah. You know, every time you ask them to go to lunch, nah. Sometimes that's the evidence. There's a Christ dwelling within you that we know we differ from you. It says in the text that Peter writing that those that live godly will suffer. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child or from childhood you have known that the scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The more and more we enter into the last days, the day of the Lord, the more and more it is going to be important to possess evidence that I'm one of them. Peter had this thing. I know we always look at Peter because he portray the Lord, and I know we highlight that, but there had to be something on Peter. Not only that they saw him with Peter, Peter then told them, I wasn't with them, and they said, nah, you were with them. I believe there was something so on Peter that even if we didn't see it on you, we could smell it on you. Even if we didn't smell it on you, you got that same look as they had. More and the more we enter into the last days, the more and more it becomes important that when we in the wrong crowd, oh God, I can go here for a while, that they asked us, what you doing here? Anybody ever been around a couple of people that they say, what you doing hanging out with us today? You don't hang out with us. The more and the more we come to the last days, it's going to have to be so important that there is evidence that we belong to that crowd, that we belong to the holy people, that we are of them which are of faith, and our faith is in Jesus Christ. There are five things that marks the present evidence of Christ dwelling within that are found in today's text, and I'm going to give them to you and I'm going to be done. Number one is found in verse 2-4. Whenever Christ is in within us, we see grace multiplied as we receive more knowledge of God and of knowledge of Christ Jesus. This grace empowers the believer to possess all things pertaining to the life and godliness. Number one, come on, multimedia, let's go. Whenever Christ dwells within, who didn't get any notes? Is Montague Blount back there? Okay. Number one, we we're going to have to just go then. Number one, whenever Christ dwells within, we see grace multiplied. This grace is multiplied because we keep receiving more knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus. This empowers us to possess all things pertaining to life and godliness. What I'm saying there is, whenever Christ is present, we don't live empty lives. We have knowledge. We know things. We have insight. Even when the enemy comes in like a flood, when we have Christ within, we know how Christ lifts up a standard. We've got to stop declaring that we are empty, because Christ in us is so much. Grace allows us to receive knowledge. Knowledge empowers us to receive all things pertaining to life and godliness. Christ cannot be in us and we not have all of that. Are y'all listening to me? We have so much in us when Christ dwells within us. He graces us that we can receive knowledge. Can I go a little bit deeper? We can understand scriptures that we didn't think we could understand. We can receive revelation as we read the word of God. God speaks to us as we go along the way, and he says, go here, don't go there. He says, stop now, start now. Whenever God dwells within and Christ dwells within us, we have grace to receive knowledge that then we have all things pertaining to life and godliness. Don't declare one more day that you don't know what to do. Don't declare one more day that I've been left here by myself. Don't declare one more day that I don't have enough. Even when it looks like you have nothing, if Christ is within, you got more than enough. Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor, say, neighbor, if Christ is within, wow, isn't that amazing? They embarrassed me a few moments ago and now they done found some notes. Oh, y'all just flowing with me and putting it up there? Okay. I'm sorry. I should have just kept going and not called y'all out. Just do your thing, Pastor. Man, Pastor. Just keep doing what you do. Let us do what we do. We're going to make you look good if you shut up. We see grace multiplied as we receive more knowledge of God and Christ Jesus, which empowers us believers to possess all things pertaining to life and godliness. Number two, first point and found in verse number two and four. Number two, what is the evidence that Christ dwells within us? There is a presence of diligence in order to increase faith as we pursue both virtue and knowledge. Whenever Christ dwells within us, there is a presence of diligence. Stop being lazy when you're Christian. When Christ dwells within us, there is a presence of diligence. And that diligence is in order for us to increase faith as we pursue both virtue and knowledge. When Christ dwells within us, I want to keep saying it because it's very simple, but we've got to get this understanding, because Peter tells us this in verse number 5. He says, where there is the presence of diligence in order to increase faith as we pursue both virtue and knowledge. This means that there is a constant and earnest effort to accomplish the undertaking of adding faith where there has been faithlessness. We intentionally prevent that which intentionally causes the manifestation of moral excellence and moral goodness and righteousness unto God. I don't believe the believer has understood that when Christ dwells within, so much came with that. When Christ dwells within, there is a presence of diligence. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, but sometimes he nudges us real well because he's trying to get us somewhere that we ain't going.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.